If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 17, 2023. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
I just want you to know that during the intro, I cleared my throat because I thought I was about to host.
Yeah.
Like, there was the first split second, both of us were going to start hosting the show at the same time, and I was like, nope, I'm not in that seat.
I want you to know that as the intro was starting, I had a moment of like, how do I intro this show? Mm-hmm. And I looked down and I read the headline, Last of Us Part 2 is finally coming to PS5. And I almost started the show saying, Last of Us Part 2.
That's awesome. Hell yeah. How's your morning going?
Oh, it's going great, Bless, because tonight something very special is happening. Well, I guess technically last night, but tonight we are going to be able to enjoy the first new Scott Pilgrim content.
Many years.
Scott Pilgrim Takes Off coming to Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited because I'm one of those people, and I'm ashamed about it.
Yeah.
When you ask me, oh, what's your favorite movie? The first movie that comes to mind is Scott Pilgrim mm-hmm. versus the World, because I'm a dork. I'm a nerd. I get it. I love Michael Cera. It's all true. But I love this movie, and like I'm very excited. As a kid, it sucks because they had the Scott Pilgrim comics in my library, my school library, and so I would like check them out. But I was that kid that like just also wouldn't read. Like I hated reading as a kid, so I'd check them out, just be like, oh yeah, this is cool, and I just fucking wouldn't do anything with them. And so I'm excited to actually see this animated version of Scott Pilgrim.
Very, very different than if it's based. It is based on the graphic novel. I don't know how much they're going to change and stuff, but very similar, but very different than the movie. So I'm excited for you to see the twists and turns that are going to happen there.
Did you listen to the new Andre 3000 album?
You know what, Bless? I did.
Yeah, did you?
I did. Well, as much as I could. You know what I mean? I really, I want to let you know. I gave it an honest shot. And I went into it being like, look, I want it to be a rap album. Duh. Andre is debatably the best to ever do it. Like, if you're just talking about like verse for verse, it's like, which there aren't that many of them out there, but like any, especially guest verses, he comes through and he just destroys.
Incredible.
Right? I want that. But I'm like, at the same time, I respect him as an artist. Whatever he wants to give me, I want to give a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I like instrumental music quite a bit. I like live instrumental music a lot. So I was like, him doing a flute album, this sounds not exactly what I'd ask for, but I think it's going to be something I want.
Uh-huh.
And then about 5 minutes into the first song that I think is like 37 minutes long, and I realized this is it. And then I skipped to the second song and I skimmed forward and it sounded exactly that's, you know, belittling it. It's not that, but I was like, it's a very, very similar vibe. And like, there's not as much loud percussion as I would have expected. It's more of the like chimey type percussion. I was like, okay, this sounds like music my mom used to listen to when I was a little kid.
Mm.
And when she was maybe not smoking the reefer. You know what I mean?
Listening to wind instruments while you're smoking that wind.
Yeah, yes, exactly. what about you?
I mean, I listened to it in my car on the way here, and I did the thing where I skipped through like a bunch of the tracks and started like listening to different parts to see like, okay, what is this? Because knew it wasn't gonna be a rap album. He said as much. We've been seeing clips of this man with a flute for like 2 decades now, so you knew what this is gonna be. But funny enough, like while I was listening to it, I felt like, do you have like a nephew or like children in your life that want to impress you? And like, they're like, hey, watch this jump. And they do a jump. And you're like, let's go. That's awesome.
His name's Kevin.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how I felt listening to this album, where I like skimmed through a song and I started listening to some of the parts. And I was like, Andre 3000 is kind of talented.
No,
though.
I mean, he's talented.
He's talented. Yo, like, this is actually some pretty good music.
Undeniably, yes. It's just like, do I vibe with it? Maybe not so
it's
much.
I'm never going to listen to it again, but I was like, this is actually like really good quality. Yeah, like, you're really, like, Andre 3000 might be one of the most talented musicians of our time. Like, he is fucking incredible.
And then the new 2 Chainz Lil Wayne album dropped last night.
It did.
Then I didn't even know it was coming.
Yeah.
So I popped onto Apple Music and I looked over trying to find Andre. He was dug way deep in there, which...
I mean, new Drake also dropped too, which makes it
difficult. Exactly. But I saw the 2 Chainz thing. I was like, all right, popped in, saw Fabulous on a guest verse.
Oh,
I'm like, all right, gotta listen to this.
Okay.
Kind of fun.
Let's go.
Enough about all of that. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday we get together to talk about all the video game news you need to know. Stories like Last of Us 2's PS5 being spotted, new Final Fantasy VII Rebirth details, and more. You can get the show live every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can also get it later as a VOD, so you can watch at your leisure on YouTube or roosterteeth.com. If podcasts are more your thing, we're right there for you on your favorite podcast service. Just search for Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you wanted to go above and beyond, though, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go. You can get all our shows ad-free, a whole bunch of bonus content. You get to support us just like our Patreon producers. Where are they at? Who do I want to shout out? You know what? I want to shout out Jason Hampton and Delaney Twining. Thank you all so very, very much. Over on Patreon, actually, we got a new Remember Blank.
Yeah.
It's up today where the audience pitches the crew on their picks for Game of the Year.
It's a fun episode because, yeah, man, let me tell you, Remember Blank is losing the plot. We didn't remember shit. We sat there and we were like, hey, write us your pitches for Game of the Year and, like, let's see what we think about it. It was a really fun episode. So yeah, highly recommended.
That's cool. You can go check that out now on Patreon. More stuff on Patreon. You can get Nerf Alice's iconic shirtless Spider-Man shirt as the premium collector's item this month. You can get yours at patreon.com/kindoffunny. Barrett, I really apologize. I went out of order on the dock.
You threw me off, Tim!
I was trying to find the Patreon producers that I got locked in, but I appreciate you keeping up. But anyways, you can get this shirt on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Going back a little bit to the housekeeping section, a new PS I Love You XOXO is up, where Greg gives his PlayStation Portal thoughts and the crew celebrates the PS4's 10-year anniversary. I was playing with my Portal a little bit last night.
Yeah.
And man, it is a 10 out of 10. Unless it's a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, oh my God.
And it's
God.
Like, oh man. Oh.
I just keep buying it work now because I'm like, at home, it works only like 50% of the time. And when it's working, it's like, any moment, my Wi-Fi is going to give up and it's just not going to work. So I keep it at work because I keep it here at the office because it's easier, or it's way better to use. It works flawlessly here and it is such a good time.
It works 60% of the time every time.
I mean,
exactly.
Well, no, but see, that's the problem, is it works 100%.
That's the thing. Sometimes, it works every time.
Or does it work?
It works every time, 60% of the time.
Yeah. It's frustrating. And then what else do we got here? I already shout out our Patreon producers. I wanted to give a shout out. We were talking about Patreon. We normally talk about our Patreon, and we're going to continue to do that. But I want to talk about another person's Patreon right now, and that man is Orioto. We've talked about Orioto for years now at Kinda Funny. The Kinda Funny Games Cast art, he's provided all of it that we've been using for years. And he adds like a filter to kind of add all the blues and the pinks to make it the Games Cast colors. But his art is absolutely stunning, and I cannot shout it out enough. Barrett, if you could bring up the tweet that he just did. He did a whole series of demakes of Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, I love this.
And oh my Lord, they are absolutely stunning.
I kind of want this, actually.
For audio listeners out there, you should check out Orioto, O-R-I-O-T-O, on Twitter, on Instagram, but specifically on Patreon to go support him. Like, come on.
Yeah. This it's is like so the, sick. Almost like the Link's Awakening remake style, but it's Tears of the Kingdom footage. It looks really cool.
And he's had hundreds, if not thousands, of these art pieces. I don't understand how he can be this talented. Like, he's been pumping these things out. I've been a fan of his since, I want to say, like, 2008 or something. Like, he's been in the game doing this. But he also, over on like Redbubble and things, he offers prints that you can buy. And I did this. Like, in my theater, I have like 5 of these displayed of some of my favorite games that I actually bought. So you can see them all lined up there. But I got Super Mario World, which, come on.
These are sick as hell.
Come on. Smash Brothers here. We got Final Fantasy X. We got Metal Gear Solid 2. And then the one other one was Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. But pretty much, if there's a game that you love, chances are he's done art of it, at least one piece, if not more.
Yeah.
So you can definitely go check it out. Support him on Patreon. Go buy some prints. He's going to have some Black Friday sales. I just really wanted to give him a shout out because he has been so good to Kinda Funny. And I mean, he makes my room look awesome.
I love this one of the moon monster from Bloodborne.
Hell yeah.
That's not what they're called. It's called like the moon demon or some shit. But like, there's nothing like really good video game art that you then also frame and put on your wall.
That's what I'm saying.
And like, there's something that's just nice about it because like, you bring people over and then they don't even have to be nerds, but they can still appreciate it because they're like, oh, you got good art. But then deep down you're like, oh, but that's Final Destination from Smash. Yeah. And they don't realize it.
Exactly. It's one of those things that it got fully GIA approved. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah.
Which like, it's rare for video game stuff, but like, that is in our house. She is happy about it.
The moon presence also is what it's called. There but I like go. Calling it the Moon Monster.
Moon Monster, everybody.
The monster on the moon.
But anyway, enough about all of that. Let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
No post show today, by the way.
Oh, that's the other housekeeping. No post show. Also, there's a new episode of The Shit List.
So much new stuff. So much good stuff.
Also, thank you to the BetterHelp. I forget if we said that.
Yeah,
part.
Thank you to BetterHelp. We're all over the place today. Story number one.
You can get us a Epic if you want to support us.
Yeah, Epic all the code. Things. Thank you. There we go. There we go. Look at us. What a team. Story number one. PS5 version of The Last of Us Part 2 reportedly added to PlayStation's database. This comes from Jordan Midler at VGC. A PlayStation 5 version of The Last of Us Part 2 has seemingly been added to the PlayStation database. Twitter account PlayStation Game Size, which has a history of scraping the back end of the PlayStation Network to find out. I don't either.
Scraping the back end.
What has been added to it has suggested that a PS5 version of the 2020 PS4 game has been added, suggesting a release could be imminent. In July, The Last of Us Part 2 composer Gustavo... Do you know how to say his last name?
I've never heard it out loud. I'll say like Santalala, but that's just me. That's just me guessing.
That sounds right. We're going to go with that.
Yeah.
Seemingly let slip that an enhanced version of the game was in development at Naughty Dog. Several reports published last year also claimed Naughty Dog was working on a director's cut of Tealu 2, and VGC sources previously suggested that the unannounced game was nearing completion as well.
I brought up a YouTube video. That's how to pronounce his name.
Let's hear it.
Hold on. Bear, do you hear this?
The pronunciation. No, you got to put it up to
okay,
the mic.
Okay, hold on. Oh. Man, shout out to Windows for making a light laptop. This is what the mic. What do they call this laptop? The Microsoft Air or something?
Surface.
The Surface. Shout out to the Surface. Right, here we go.
No way.
That cannot be
no
right.
No fucking way.
Santolasha.
I don't think that's right.
So the two L's make a S-H sound?
But I mean, I've heard people say his name before, and that didn't sound like that.
I mean, that's
how
what
they say it then, Tim.
PronounceNames.com it says it like
I
that.
I mean, shit. I don't want that smoke.
PronounceNames.com has never steered me wrong. Santolasha.
See, even it. No, see, motherfuckers are just messing with us now in the chat. Yeah. Anyways, Last of Us 2, bless.
Yes.
A remake. A PS5 version, a remaster. Who the hell cares?
It was not director's cut.
Director's cut.
It could be anything. It could be anything. Okay. It's happening to Game Awards. Lock it in.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that hype for Game Awards, though?
I don't think it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I mean, it's more hype than...
than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, you know
PC
what I mean?
Port. I guess, yeah, a PS5 version of The Last of Us, especially if it's a director's cut. Where was the Death Stranding director's cut announced? I feel like that was a Jeff Keighley thing. And I know that's Kojima, but also like...
Oh, it was Gamescom, wasn't it?
Was it Gamescom? It might have been.
That feels right.
I think, yeah.
No. Gamescom. It was. It was... wait,
like Gamescom.
No. It was Kickoff Live. It was Kickoff Summer Live? Games. It was the first Summer Game Fest Kickoff Live because I was at Disneyland, and I had to miss that reaction. I was really upset about it, and I was trying to watch. I was trying to Discord in from Disneyland to be on the stream, and it didn't work.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Like, Jeff Keighley obviously has that close relationship with Kojima. Mm-hmm. PlayStation also likes Jeff Keighley, right? Especially on the Naughty Dog side of things. It was at Kickoff where we got the Last of Us factions news or Last of Us multiplayer thing, right? And then also Last of Us Part 1.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're bringing Last of Us Part 2 to PS5, could make a lot of sense to do it at a Keighley thing. I think now's about the time. I'm surprised we haven't gotten it already. I think that's me the thing. Because if you rewind back mm-hmm. to Last of Us Remastered, the original, that came out in 2014. That was mm-hmm. a year after Last of Us already came out.
But I think
that was the first year into the PS4.
We're in a different world, though, now, especially when it comes to The Last of Us and PlayStation, as popular as it is, where the Last of Us Remastered came out at a time where PS4 was first taking its baby steps, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, into dominance.
Yeah.
Now PlayStation is so much more a household name, and Last of Us, clearly because of HBO, is even more of a household name. I feel like it's a great, and also with Spider-Man coming out and God of War Ragnarok and Horizon... They had such a good, like, stretch of releases, including Last of Us Part 1 mm-hmm. on PS5, that they didn't need to put this. And I actually think that separating, like at the time, it was like, why would they put this out without part two? This should have been a dual thing, whatever. But now it's like, all right, actually, the business wise, it probably makes a lot of sense to have this kind of steady chain of releases because now they don't have that.
Yeah, there's a little gap.
So there's a gap. So yeah. This coming out early next year, I think could make a lot of sense. And then on top of that, I feel like it's kind of the right time with the strikes being over. And I don't think that like they actually tied it to all this, but it does work out.
I mean, Last of Us Season 2 is going to be the starting
production in late this January. Year. Or January, yeah. January. So I feel like it's kind of a perfect thing of the amount of people that watched the HBO show for the first time, yep. then played part one for a part two to come out. It's kind of like exciting. And I feel like then there's going to be a big group of people that are going to be like, oh, I actually want to play it. So like, I get to be one of the cool kids that's in the know when the show comes out.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah, I think you're selling me on a bit because when I first saw this pop, I think the thing for me is I was like, man, I don't know how excited I am for Last of Us 2 coming out now as maybe I would have been if it was coming off fresh of the PS5 and I got to experience it with like the, oh man, DualSense features, oh, adaptive triggers, oh, you know, the HD rumble, all this stuff, right? Like we're far enough into the PS5 generation where those selling points aren't as tantalizing to me.
But so here's the problem with what you're saying, because I agree. I remember, infamously, there are a couple key canon event moments in my life of me and you on Games Daily that I'll just always remember. And Last of Us 2 getting delayed was one of those moments. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is really happening. And when they announced that date of June or whatever, or I guess there was a moment where we didn't know the date. Mm-hmm. I was convinced they were just going to hold it for the PS5. And that they were going to do a Breath of the Wild type cross-gen thing. And they didn't. So Last of Us launched months before the PS5, mm-hmm. which is wild to think. But we had Miles Morales. We had Astro. We had so much going for the PS5. And I feel like pretty much without fail, since that launch, we've had a strong PS5
lineup.
Yeah,
it's been a consistent cadence.
Especially considering the pandemic and everything.
Like there's been some gaps here and there, but even those gaps have been filled. Before Spider-Man 2 this year, we hadn't really had, we had Horizon Call of the Mountain, Horizon DLC in VR, right? But like that doesn't necessarily speak to everybody in that way. But even in those moments, you have a Final Fantasy 16 that'll come through. And so consistently PlayStation's been pretty good about at the very least exclusives and people having something to play.
And I feel like we're finally looking at the first, I don't even want to call it a drought because that's being very dramatic with Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth and things happening. But it is the slowest future of the PS5 we've ever had. So I think now being coming up on 4 years removed from Last of Us 2 coming out.
Jesus.
I'm excited to replay it more than ever. If it came out earlier, I wouldn't.
Yeah, would we have replayed it?
And also, would we have had the time?
I can testify to that because I was on the role of when the HBO show was coming out, I was playing the remake in parts to line up with where I thought the episode would end. And then once I was done with my playthrough and then done watching the HBO show, I started a replay of part two just because I was like, God, this world is so good. These characters are so good. And then I dropped off very early. It was a lot of Last of Us in a short amount of time. So, yeah, timing-wise, I think it makes more sense than I would have given it credit for.
And, to be fair, I played Last of Us Part 1 when they dropped that remaster for PS5, even in the midst of everybody being we don't want a remake. The fact of the matter is that so many people, me, myself included, fucking love Last of Us 1. And so, and they also dropped that at a place where you would say maybe there's a drought here, right? Because that was last year,
September,
right? That was
right?
2022. That was months and months before God of War Ragnarok. I guess that was months and months after Horizon, right? Like there was a gap there for PlayStation first party, and Last of Us Part 1 filled that in nicely. And I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I have time to play this. Let's go. Last of Us Part 2, right now for 2024, goddamn, it's 2024. There is we don't have much concrete dates or concrete. We don't have a concrete idea of what first party PlayStation stuff is happening. Concord is announced, and I think that's it. There's Final Fantasy, right? But that's not even first
What's
party.
What's the Bungie one that's internally
Marathon?
Delayed? Marathon.
But that never even got an external release date.
Yeah,
as far as we understand, right, it's just announced. And so if you come out in Game Awards and go, hey, we're starting this year off with a banger. In February, you're getting Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. In March or April, you're getting Last of Us Part 1 or Part 2 remastered or Director's Cut probably, right? I think that's a steady cadence, especially if that director's cut has any new content. Like, we talked about
the so that's the question, right?
Yeah, like what the Gustavo recently, we talked about how there was a store where he was talking about how he's essentially KK Slider in Last of Us 2, this new version where like you can find him and have him play music for you. If that's there, what else is there, right? Like, what else are you doing? Is it gonna come with a, and this is me probably taking things too far, but how cool would it be if it came with a Left Behind, or if it came with like an extra story that is 2 to 3 hours of gameplay?
Or, and this is something that, you know, this has been rumored for years, I think, at this point, or at least a year, because I remember we've talked about it before. I'd be fascinated to see if they, again, a director's cut, do they, is there a version of the story that we can play through that does day one, day two, day three,
yeah,
instead of doing days one through three and then doing days one through three again. Again, I'm trying to be as vague as possible.
Interesting.
I don't know if they'll actually do that, because one of my theories for remake was that they would try to interweave Left Behind into like the main like Last of Us campaign. They didn't do that. So that's probably a lot of like reworking and stuff that'd probably be like too much to actually have it pay off, but an interesting idea nonetheless.
I mean, it is, and like I don't know. Like, I'm personally excited for this because I want to replay Last of Us 2, and like I want to play it with all those fancy bells and whistles, because to your point, like the freshness and excitingness of like the haptics and all the next gen shit like is a little over. But I keep talking about, and like you'll notice it listening to me with any of the PlayStation first party stuff specifically, and Nintendo first party stuff to an extent, but specifically with the DualSense, I am so wowed by the immersion that the haptics give me. Like I'm such a fan of tactile sound, and being able to feel it is so powerful to me, and like making the experience feel more than or greater than. And like Spider-Man 2 was a shining example of that. Like getting that in Last of Us 2 is very exciting to me. And all the extra fancy bells and whistles that it'll come with. Like, I don't know how much better I need Last of Us 2 to look.
Yeah.
But like, that's a good thing.
Like, for me, I'm excited to play it not during 2020. Like
that too.
playing Last of Us Part 2 in June 2020 was such a tough way to play that game. And for me, I think it took a lot out of it for me, where I, as fun as that game is, and like, for as much as they're doing with the story, there are parts of that story that didn't sit well with me at that time, and honestly might not sit well with me at this time, right? Like, it's not like the world's all healed. Like, there's like an Israel-Palestine war that's going down, and Last of Us Part 2 has like parallels to that type of shit as well. So I think I'm very curious to see how this game lands for people, and if it comes out, let's say 2024, compared to 2020. Like, is it a better reception? Is it a worse reception? Like, I think the actual tones and themes of this game might speak differently going into next year than previously.
And I'm interested in that, because like I love Last of Us 2. And I feel like, you know, it's, I think with Spider-Man 2, God of War 2, Last of Us 2, I'm literally like, I love all of these so much. So it's like almost feels silly to have to pick a favorite. But like, I do think Last of Us 2 is better than Last of Us 1. And that's hard to say now that in the last 2 years I've replayed Last of Us 1, I've watched the show, and I'm like, God damn, Last of Us 1 is good. So I'm kind of ready to question, is Last of Us 2 as good as it was to me originally? But here's the big question, Bless.
What up?
$70.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be $70.
And
I think they're going to try and justify it. I think that's why it'll probably be a director's cut, is that they're going to try to justify it with new content. Like, that's where we're at, right? Like, base, or at least premium PlayStation games, as they look at it, are $70. Correct me if I'm wrong. Last of Us Part 1 was $70, right? Because I believe that was a big hubbub that people got
mad
about.
But the difference there, Last of Us Part 1, dramatic, like, upgrade in visuals and animations and, like, all of that, the fidelity of it. It's so much more than even the remaster was.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be that.
I mean, it's going to be a little bit. Like, it's not going to be as dramatic as Last of Us Part 1. But, like, it's going to have, like, the ray tracing performance. Like, it's going to have all those features of a PS5. It might have some more new content. And also, like, PlayStation doesn't care. Like, for them, it's a new release. It's a new release of a premium title. And so they're going to charge full price for it.
I'm just hoping, and this is something where I love it. It's so funny because normally we have these conversations talking about, like, decade old games of like, oh, it looks how you remember it looking, and then you go back and look at it, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But like, in my mind, Last of Us Part 2 and Last of Us Part 1 remake look similar. There are some tech things that they don't have, but like I don't think it's gonna be enough to justify the price point. I'm not saying they won't use it.
Yeah.
They're gonna use it. But I feel like there is enough of a difference here. if as mad as it made people, The Last of Us Part 1 was 70. If Last of Us Part 2 is 70, I think it'll make even more people even more.
But like, why?
Loud.
Like, Last of Us 2 is longer than Last of Us 1. Last of Us 2 like has more content than Last of Us 1.
Because Last of Us 2 on PS4 you can get right now for dirt cheap. And if the biggest additions are haptic feedback and stuff, like that I don't think is the same as the increase as haptic feedback and the visual upgrade that Part 1 got. What I'm getting at with you is,
yeah,
I understand people are going to be mad about the price every which way, and like for good reason in a lot of ways, but I think there has to be something new.
See, okay, so I think this is interesting because I think where this is going to be split at, I'm so curious on when this gets announced and how this gets announced, is the difference between whether they call it remastered or director's cut. Because the director's cuts that we have, that we've gotten, right? Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, both those got substantial new DLC and additions to them. I think if Last of Us Part 2, whatever new version this is a director's cut, then I think it'll have substantial new content. I think if it's a remaster, then it is like, cool, same game. It's going to have like, you know, 60 FPS performance, all the stuff you expect, DualSense features, whatever. But I could see that maybe being $60.
What's really funny is you're actually kind of like breaking my brain a little bit where like, I mean, you're totally right. If it is Last of Us Part 2 remastered, then yeah, they'll get away with it because that's what they're doing. Yeah, maybe 60, but probably 70.
Probably 70 still.
But like, we haven't gotten a remaster on PS5. Like, that word is kind of like...
No, we've gotten ports. Have we gotten ports for like PlayStation first party stuff? Because I'm thinking of like Control Ultimate Edition and like Witcher and stuff like that, which I think also was like an Ultimate Edition situation.
Director's cuts.
It's director's cut, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, separating director's cuts, right? Because like director's cuts, I think for PlayStation is a different thing. That implies more content. From PlayStation, have we gotten a straight up port? Like, this is just a PS4 game that we put out that we're putting on PS5. Not a cross-gen launch, right? Not God of War. We're talking about like an old game.
Marvel Spider-Man is the one that
that's remastered. Yes.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking
there
for.
There we go. That's actually. I mean, that literally is.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's probably what's gonna happen. CJ Splitson says Uncharted Legacy of Thieves as well. But that like they didn't call
collection.
It Uncharted Remastered.
And that's a collection. Yeah. So I feel like that.
I think that puts in a different.
There's added value there. Spider-Man and also
remastered.
That wasn't 70, was it?
Collection? That might have been. It was two games.
Uncharted. Question.
Can you buy Spider-Man Remastered like alone yet? Do you start to buy Miles Morales?
I think they separated it.
Because when they separated it, how much was it?
Oof.
Because if that's the case, then yeah, if this is Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, then I would say $60, $50, maybe even.
So it looks like Legacy of Thieves was $70.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, look. Also I think we're both betting this is going to be $70. The question is, what are they doing to soften the blow of that and to explain it?
I think new content.
I hope beyond hope this is a director's cut. Like, that to me would be like the best case scenario. They're doing this. You don't need to buy it.
Yeah.
But what would get us excited? A director's cut, not a remaster. I'd still be like, cool, I'm going to play it. But
and like honestly, like, and I mean, what? It doesn't even have to be the most exciting thing. I would love for it to be the most exciting thing, right? Like, give me maybe another... Like, somebody in chat mentioned, like, oh, man, I'll be down for, like, an Abby epilogue or something like that. Like, something like that would be dope. Shoot, I'll play... Give me a chapter where I get Ezekiel's story or whatever his name. Isaac?
Oh,
what was his
Isaac,
name? The guy that never got enough story? Let me play as that dude for a chapter. See what he's about. Like,
see what he's up to, yeah.
See what he's up to. I'm down for, like, some weird shit.
Yeah. That'd be cool. I mean, look, I think that we are... over expecting anything for them to add, because like, why would they?
Yeah.
But I do think that with the power of the show right now, and with season 2 not out, this is kind of their opportunity to like, Neil and Craig are brewing the story for season 2. Like, they already have, like, they're about to go into production. What new shit have they added? What changes have they made that they might want to make now?
Hear me out. Love Behind.
Get out.
Love.
No.
Last was Part 2.
No.
Love Behind.
You're done. That's it for today. Thank you, Bless.
Story number two will
be
read to you in just a second, right after a word from our sponsors. This episode's brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year can be a lot, and it's natural to feel some sadness or anxiety about it. I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep because I just can't stop thinking. My brain just won't stop talking. Therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. And it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping coping skills, and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Story number two, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth gets tons of new details, screenshots, and a Red 13 narrated trailer. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Square Enix has shared a ton of new gameplay details and screenshots for Rebirth. While the trailer's just a story so far catch-up that will be included in the game's main menu for those who need to be refreshed on Final Fantasy VII Remake, Square Enix shared plenty other bits of information too, including details of new regions, characters, and more. The developer confirmed both active and classic battle modes will return in Rebirth, again letting players choose between fast-paced action or slower-paced decision-making. The sequel will get a new difficulty mode, however, with dynamic joining easy and normal to allow for further player customization. The regions of Calm and the Mithril Mine were also given a deep dive. Square Enix also revealed the synergy abilities would make their debut in Rebirth. These are powerful attacks in which two characters team up to perform, with more abilities unlocking as players level up the party. Cloud can launch Tifa towards an enemy to attack in tandem in the Relentless Rush, for example, while Barret can throw in Red 13 at high velocity to perform Overfang. Synergy skills have also been added, with these providing other benefits in battle beyond just doing physical damage. Summons were also touched upon by Square Enix, as the developer confirmed they would work in Rebirth the same way as Remake. So a lot of new info here. We got this kid.
Wait, which one was this kid? Was he
the
VR
creepy guy? Child who's like really into studying shit.
There was more in the IGN article that was like deeper dives into some of the regions, like the Calm and the Mithril Mine and stuff like that. The trailer is like, it's just a recap. I've not seen it yet. I want to go back and watch it. Because, like, I want to, you're going to wait till you,
well,
before
if they're
you
saying
it.
That this is like the main menu recap thing.
I
love that games do that now. And I kind of enjoy getting in the mood. It's a good tone setter. Yeah.
But you don't want to just jump in raw. You know what I mean? Because if I watch it now,
stop it.
if I watch it now, I don't have to watch it when I boot up the game. I can just get straight into it.
If you watch it now, you're not going to remember that in 3 months. I guarantee it.
I mean, it's just the first part of Final Fantasy VII, right? And like, I've played that part of that game like 5 times, and I played this game. Like, it'll be fine. I just got to remember like what the ghosts were up to.
Yeah.
What were the ghosts doing?
Like, why were they there again?
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I was not outspoken, but I was one of the people who was a little bit disappointed by Final Fantasy VII Remake because I just wanted my OG story again, and then they're doing weird ghost shit and weird timeline stuff, and I was less into that, less into the active time battle, like, kind of reinterpretation, reimagining for Final Fantasy VII. But I'm looking at these screenshots, man. Fuck, I want to play Rebirth.
Yeah, man.
Fuck, I want to play this game.
It's hard not to be really excited. And, like, I've said this a bazillion times at this point, but, like, I have played the opening hours of Final Fantasy VII countless times, and Remake kind of just being that, the expanded game, I just feel so familiar with that part, but I've always been less familiar with the rest of it. Like, whenever I talk to Imran, I'm like, hey, man, like, out of Midgar on, like, I've beat this game at least twice, if not 3 times in my life, but, like, I'm less like, oh yeah, into it. for a bunch of different reasons, but I'm excited for this. I feel like this is going to be like the thing that really cements it in my mind and like really gets me stoked on it all. I mean, I did the preview, and like I was saying in the preview, I feel like what they had us play wasn't the most exciting thing, but the game is there, the quality's there. I expect this game to completely deliver what I want it to. And what they're talking about here about these synergy attacks is pretty cool. They're pretty much, they don't require any bar or any loading or anything. You just use them as much as you want. And they're super fun and flashy, and they do the team up thing. And there's so many different combinations of the characters, of switching them in and out, that it just makes it a very pretty game to look at.
Yeah.
You know?
Which and I'm down for.
It's just fun. So super stoked about all that stuff and really excited where they take all the story. But like at the end of the day, I just can't believe we are so close to
this. That's my thing is, I remember when we were talking about Spider-Man 2 and you're like, this game doesn't feel, this is before it came out, right? Like, oh, this game doesn't feel, it doesn't feel like it's already happening, because they weren't like giving us all these marketing materials and it didn't feel like it was the rollout was happening, right? And we got there and it's like, shit, all right, we're here. Like, there's a preview, we're actually in it. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, they've been giving us trailers. Like, they've been doing all this stuff. You've done a preview. I still, for some reason, don't feel like this game's real. I know it is. Like, yeah. I know 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 2.5 months from now, I'm going to be playing this game.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it just doesn't feel like that's the case.
Furby Production says, Tim didn't explore enough because he was tired, so he didn't get the full experience of the demo. I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like, I don't know if he's fucking with me or whatever, but like, yo, real talk, like, I was one of the people at that demo that stayed the longest, and like, I did everything I could in it. Like, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
And I know you're drinking a coffee, too. You probably had your Starbucks.
I was coffeed up.
Venti.
You kidding me? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
But no, so excited for this thing. And yeah, just a couple months away. And it sounds big, man. Every time they talk about the hours for it, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it the other day that we're entering a new season. We're entering JRPG season. And like this, Like a Dragon, like the Infinite Wealth, there's more JRPGs.
Persona 3 Reload.
Persona 3 Reload, appreciate it. And like, even right now, Mario RPG released today, and I'm still pretty early on in Sea of Stars. Like, we're eating right now if you're a JRPG fan, and I'm like, I'm gearing up because I want to play all these things. Like, some of them I'm not going to get to. Like, we'll see if I even touch Infinite Wealth, but yeah, like, it's an exciting time if you're this genre fan.
Bless, I want you to review Persona 3. Do it.
I want to also. When does it come out compared to Final Fantasy? it's the same month, right?
It's the very beginning of the month, because I think Final Fantasy is near the end of February, if I remember correctly.
And it's just going to be some overlap there, I imagine, because like, I imagine we'd get Final Fantasy VII Rebirth weeks and weeks ahead, right? If this is a 40-hour game, they're going to give us maybe like, I hope, 3 to 4 weeks.
I imagine, yeah.
And that's eating into Persona time.
I think it's going to be longer.
You know what's crazy, too? Mm-hmm. We're getting Final Fantasy 16 DLC.
What?
Oh, yeah. That was the whole, like, was that rumor or is that,
no,
like...
No, they announced it.
I forgot.
They announced it. I don't know what it was, but they announced it, like, a couple months ago, which, like, oh, my God, we're getting it, man. I can't wait. Yeah. That's going to be...
We're eating.
Ah! Story number 3. Microsoft's made a unique Bluey Xbox Series X.
Comes
from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN.
We win in.
Bluey's world domination continues as Microsoft has now created a truly unique Xbox Series X console themed after the beloved animated series. Celebrating the launch of Bluey, the video game. Oh my God. Oh my God, look at
this. This is horrifying.
Look at it.
It looks like Bluey ate an Xbox.
What have I done? Celebrating the launch of Bluey, the video game, Microsoft's made the custom console in a vibrant color to exude Bluey's high energy and lovable personality. Nailed it. The console's basically Bluey herself.
I know. I thought the same thing. Did you know Bluey was a girl?
Do you know Blue from Blue's Clues is a girl?
And that's what I was going to bring up. I remember learning Blue from Blue's Clues was a girl, and it blew my mind as a kid. Blue and Bluey are both girls.
Yeah.
And also, did Bluey just copy off of Blue's Clues? Because, like, have we not talked about
this? I think it's a different vibe. I think it is.
It's a blue dog that kids love, light blue, and she's a girl.
They really did just add a Y at the end, you know?
That's what I'm saying. One is named Blue, the other's named Bluey. How are you going to tell me there's different vibes? This is infringement.
And also, Tim, Magenta was a boy.
Magenta was a boy. They were breaking gender roles early.
Yeah, breaking gender norms. Good for the kids.
The console's basically Bluey herself, featuring the beloved Australian cattle dog puppy in all her glory. The controller, which features matching blue tones, includes an image of Bluey alongside her sister Bingo. Only one console exists, but fans have a chance to win it by following Xbox on X. Only one console exists? This sucks, because I definitely want this, and I would have switched out my Xbox Series
X
at home
all
to see
the
what
time.
G says.
Like, walks in, just like, what the fuck? Gets jump scared. You just hear a scream from the other room, and you're like, what? Bluey!
Bluey!
She's square.
So fans have a chance to win it by following Xbox on Twitter and retweeting the official Xbox sweepstakes post before December 13th. So get on it, everybody. Good
luck.
I
hate that they do this all the time where they make really, I think, cool looking consoles, and they only make like one or like a few for a sweepstakes.
Literally one of these. That's weird,
and
man.
I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel like if you made 100, they'd sell. I feel like if you made 500, they'd sell. Like, I'll just make a few more.
Yeah.
Just make it. Let Gary Whitta get one.
Story. Yeah, Gary Whitta deserves one.
Oh, Gary Whitta desperately wants.
Yeah,
this.
Let's. Can you pull up Gary Whitta's Twitter real quick?
Yeah, has he tweeted about this yet?
Hold on, I need to fix an internet problem.
Unless he's still asleep. Like
Gary Whitta, either asleep or begging for the Bluey Xbox.
Oh, you know what? His Twitter isn't active.
What?
Yeah, he's off. He announced this yesterday. Yeah,
did he really?
Yeah, he's off Twitter now.
Wow.
And you can't pull up threads on desktop yet, can you?
Damn. Well, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on there, isn't there? Story number four. Aspyr claims that KOTOR 2 Switch DLC was canceled because a third party objected. This comes from Jordan Midler at VGC. Publisher Aspyr Media has claimed that the canceled KOTOR 2 Nintendo Switch DLC at the center of a class action lawsuit was down to third-party objection. The Switch Ports announcement trailer, which was published a couple weeks ahead of its
June 2022.
This is Bluey stuff, man. I can't get out of it. You know what I mean? It's just all I'm thinking about. June 2022 release stated that the restored content DLC was coming soon, and Aspyr subsequently said it would arrive in the third quarter of 2022. However, in June 2023, Aspyr announced that plans to release the DLC had been canceled. As compensation, it offered customers who bought the game the chance to download one of seven other games free of charge, including KOTOR 2 on Steam. Now, Axios reports that Aspyr co-CEO Ted Salich said Aspyr believed it would be able to release the content, but a third party objected and Aspyr wasn't able to do so. They also moved to have a class action lawsuit dismissed both last month and this month. A hearing on Aspyr's motion to dismiss the case is set for the end of the month. Despite their failure to release KOTOR's restored content DLC, defendants refused to give refunds to purchasers of KOTOR, reads a class action lawsuit filed in July individually and on behalf of all others similarly situated, which was spotted by thegamer.com.
Cool.
Your icon's blocking me. We have an update on the KOTOR remake from Grub.
Yeah, that's not, I think that wasn't part of the article. I think that's something.
I added that in because I noticed that. Hold on, let me.
Gotcha. Before we get there, though, to talk. Oh my God, Grub's face. Wait, is Grub here or is this? Are you looking for Grub?
It's the ghost of Grub.
I didn't know if this was like a call-in situation where like he just hasn't spoken yet.
He's just like standing really still. He has much shorter hair now.
Yeah. But. On this, who would the third party be? That would be having.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. That's Mark a Damon? Third party.
Would it not be just Lucasfilm?
But like they're letting them release KOTOR 2, right?
Yeah.
Like, isn't Lucasfilm in charge of this?
Well, KOTOR 2, yes, but maybe there's something about the DLC that they're not a fan of, or like whether it's like. You know, like the way Lucasfilm operates with like a lot of people, especially when it comes to video games, they get very protective over specific lore things. So there's a possibility that like the DLC handles some lore stuff that like might be related to stuff that they are planning to do soon.
Yeah.
So that's a weird possibility.
You know? Maybe, but I also feel like you wouldn't do that if it would lead to like the developer and publisher getting sued, right? Like if there's a class action lawsuit happening. Where because you're not giving the audience the DLC that you promised, like I feel like Lucasfilm.
I don't think Lucasfilm knows how much gamers can be gamers.
Yeah, you know? But like they'll get the word that the lawsuit's happening. Like, oh fuck, we promised it. All right, cool, make it happen. Like I feel like it can't be Lucasfilm. But I'm also like, who the fuck is it then?
I mean, in this case, I think third party can mean a million things. Third party doesn't mean third party the way we're thinking about it. A third party could be PlayStation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Nintendo or Xbox. I don't know. What's Grub's update? Grub's smarter than us.
Grubbs update, not on the KOTOR 2 DLC, but on the KOTOR remake this morning on Game Mess Mornings with One Tamor Hussein. Jeff Grubbs stated Star Wars KOTOR remake is not being worked on in any way by any studio right now.
Wow.
Cool. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, exactly.
Just based on everything we've heard, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That feels about right.
It just hurts to hear it out loud, though. You know?
So, like, going back to a few months ago where we talked about the PlayStation trailer being pulled, like, that game's never coming out, right? Like, that's part of the reason. I know we said it was, like, some license shit, but, like, they're also, I feel like there's also, like, somebody who's like, yeah, just take it down. Like, we don't want to deal with this anymore. We reviewed this at the PlayStation Showcase. It was a mistake. It was never going to happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I hope somebody else picks it up. Like, I hope it gets, like, you know, Metroid Prime 4 and, like, restarted and worked on by a Blue Point or somebody.
Me too. What is Blue Point working on? Bless.
Original content, I think they said a long time ago.
We'll
at this point.
We'll fucking see, man.
Bloodborne.
That is one of the things I want to know most in video games. One of the biggest unknowns is what Blue Point working on.
Bluey Point, says Jim Leader Phil.
That's great.
Yeah, I think they might be working on their own game. Like, it might, and like people want Bloodborne 2. I think most Bloodborne fans actually wouldn't want a Bloodborne 2 from Blue Point. That might be a crazy thing to say, but like, I feel like if you want Bloodborne 2, you want it from Software. You want it from the mind of Miyazaki, right? And so I don't think they would touch that. Even Shadow of the Colossus 2, I personally be like, hey, I'm down for it because Ueda is never going to make it. But, you know, I still think that it'd be weird just on the what we associate that game with side of it. So I think maybe they're just working on their own new IP. Like, I think they could be working on their own new game. What kind of game is it?
I don't know.
Maybe it's their own Souls-like.
Who the hell knows, man?
That'd be sick, actually.
Who the hell knows? Story number 5. Dragon's Dogma 2 has possibly leaked the release date. Just the release date.
Somebody in chat says Bloodborne remake. Y'all got mad over Last of Us Part 1 remake. You want a Bloodborne remake?
60 FPS.
Yep.
That yeah, that's not a remake, rough, though. Just add 60 FPS. That's a PS5 port. Not a remake.
Director's cut. Special edition. Dragon's Dogma 2's release may have just leaked. This comes from Rhiannon Bevan at The Gamer. And it's closer than we thought. According to the game's age rating page on the Peggy website, Dragon's Dogma 2 is launching on March 22nd, 2024. So just a few months away. This discovery was made by Reset Era user -R, who shared a link to the Peggy website. A Piggy page with a release date listed. According to the site, it will launch on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation on the same day. Bless, you remember the first time you clicked on a trailer and it said Peggy 16.
And I was like, who the fuck is Peggy?
Yeah.
I've never met a Peggy in my life. The only Peggy I know is now the Captain America. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Captain Britain. Well, I don't know her name.
Captain Carter is what they call it. Dragon's Dogma 2, you played it.
Yeah, it was cool.
You excited for this on March 22nd, 2024? You having played the game last month, do you think that that sounds about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, I think that, I mean, Capcom, they're a well-oiled machine over there. Like, I believe them on any of their release dates. I feel like they've not missed in terms of, hey, we got a game coming out 5 months from now, and it comes out, you know, like, when was the last time a Resident Evil got delayed?
Yeah, they call their shots. That is true.
They call their shots, and they happen, unless the game's called Pragmata. Then, like, it doesn't happen.
You're right.
Dragon's Dogma 2.
What was the other one?
Oh, was there another one?
Nights Out or whatever.
Nights
Deep
Out.
Deep Down.
Yeah. I watched a trailer for Deep Down a couple weeks ago, believe it or not. And when I tell you that trailer is ridiculous, the fact that any of us thought that was happening, we're idiots. Like, and we're not doing a post show, but we got time. Barrett, just prep the Deep Down trailer for later in the show, sometime after out today, maybe.
That's so
like,
funny.
We need to watch the Deep Down trailer and think to ourselves, was that game ever coming out? Because the answer is no. Why the fuck do we believe them? It makes me mad watching it back.
I'm excited because I don't know why you would say
It looks like a PlayStation 6 game. We thought it was going to be a PS4 early title.
That's so
funny. And it has online elements. This is before Bloodborne, right? This is like well, I think Dark Souls had happened, so maybe we thought, like, oh, man, this might be another one of those.
Goddamn, you're right.
But, like, look at this fucking game.
The facial animation is, like, this looks modern. That's hilarious.
This looks postmodern. Like, this looks like something that's coming out two consoles from now. We thought this game existed.
Damn, dude.
Also, what did we think the gameplay was going to be?
I don't know.
Like, we just saw a trailer and went, oh, that looks pretty. We won it.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Like, come on. Look at this, dude. The cool-ass dragon. best fire effects I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, holy shit.
This unlocked a memory.
Yeah. Like, this looks like, you remember when we saw the Unreal Engine 5 like demo where she was like flying through all like the mountains or whatever, and they talked about how you had all the fucking polygons and whatever. All the dirt was falling off. That you could have played this video and had the same voiceover, and we would have been like, oh man, there's a lot of polygons.
You know what's weird in terms of like the tech demo stuff? Mm-hmm. This is another one that I'd love for you to bring up, Barrett. Look up Agni's Philosophy. A-G-N-I.
Oh, yes.
I was convinced this was going to be Final Fantasy 16 because like for years I was saying like y'all, it's been so long since they have announced a core Final Fantasy title. Like 15 took so long and 14 being an online game. So even if you like just count just the single player ones, like from 13 all the way to 15 and then the wait to 16 took forever. And this Agni's Philosophy thing felt like such a fleshed out world. Like, clearly a tech demo. They even said it was a tech demo. But, like, there was characters.
Wait, when was this?
Oh, man.
It's 11 years ago, it says.
Jesus. Wow, that's crazy. But, like, I remember I watched this, like, on repeat, dude. Like, it looks so cool. Like, skim to the end a little bit. Like, when she starts using her powers, like, it's just, I want to know what her philosophy is, man.
I love that we all have tech demos that we like, stuck to. I know so many people remember the Zelda tech demo for the Wii U. Right? Well, it was the Wii U, right?
Well, there was the GameCube one, and then there was the Wii U one.
Yeah, the Wii U one where I was like, oh, man, this looks insane.
The Star Wars 1313 trailer still haunts me to my days.
Yes. But that was like an actual game, though, right? That wasn't even a tech demo. That was like, that game was supposed to happen. The one that always stuck with me was the Quantic Dream Kara demo, and we got that game.
We did.
Yeah.
And that always, that blows my mind that we actually got that, because I was obsessed with that game. That was back when I was a Quantic Dream fan, right? That was like my stand. I was like, that was my toxic fave, because I really liked Heavy Rain back in the day. And so, and I didn't really like Beyond Two Souls that much, but I was still ride or die. And so I saw the Kara demo and I was like, I really need this game. Like, I need this game so badly. And then we finally got the E3 trailer for Detroit Become Human. And like, I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe it was actually happening. And we got the game. It was cool. Yeah. I actually really liked Detroit. But like,
I mean, so, this is so funny. Mr. Anderson saying the Final Fantasy VII PS3 tech demo. Like that
was
the opening of Final Fantasy VII done in PS3 graphics, and we ended up getting it on PS4, and now we're getting a sequel on PS5.
Insane, dude.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, Dragon's Dogma 2, I can't wait to see like for it to come through and see what the conversation is around it, like see fans take to it and all that stuff, because it had really fun combat. I had a really fun time playing it. I think it's such a niche, not even niche, I guess like unique game, I should say, right? Because it is. Hey, you have kind of Shadow Colossus-y climbing on characters. You have like a bunch of companions that you're following. You have like griffins that you'll climb on and fly around. Like, it's such a weird game, but it's also, the time I had with it was really fun. And so I'm hoping that around this time, like, there's not much else happening, so I can actually put some time into this thing, because it'd be really fun.
Exactly.
I do have a question in the thing. If you're like, do we?
No. I was just like, I'm just looking. I'm trying to see. There's a tech demo I'm trying to remember, but I'm blanking on it right now. I might get to it later. If I remember it, bless. That's so far away.
It's so far away.
If I was wanted to know what's coming to Mom and Grab Shops today, where would I look?
You would look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
It's not a tech demo, but I do want to talk about Final Fantasy Versus 13, because it might be one of the biggest heartbreaks of my life. Like,
but you got it.
No, I didn't.
It's called Final Fantasy 15.
I hate you so much.
You saw the trailer where they crossed out the 13 and then added the 15?
I lost my shit. Literally, that was one of the bigger first E3s I did at IGN, and we were in the war room. Like, there was probably like 50 people in the room watching the press conference live, and when that happened, how loud that room got, and how most of it was me. When that 13 turned into a 15, and also Kingdom Hearts 3 was announced at that same conference.
Insane.
Dude. Absolutely nuts. But man, that Final Fantasy Versus 13 original trailer is probably my most watched video game trailer of all time, because the music just, it is so damn good. And there's a vibe and an energy. It was the first time we really saw like blood like that in a Final Fantasy. He's out there fucking teleporting, cutting motherfuckers open.
Can you prep the Final Fantasy 13 trailer?
Sitting on his throne. Oh, there's just nothing cooler.
I remember, I think I was talking to you about Stevie yesterday, and how Stevie was the friend that was like the Final Fantasy friend, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, Versus 13 was such his thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo.
What trailer is this?
Just teaser. If you type in Final Fantasy Versus 13 teaser,
okay,
it's like a minute and a half, maybe.
But yeah, I remember watching with him being like, yeah, this looks really cool. 14 this looks
years
really
ago,
cool.
Does that sound right?
14 years?
Maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's this one. We need the audio on this.
Yeah. What does the cloud mean in the top right?
This is like some fan page or fan YouTube channel.
Oh, gotcha.
Shimamura, man. She don't miss.
Look at how young Noctis still looks. It's yeah. Fucking wild.
Come on.
Like, come on, dude.
He has Protect up.
That's the nerdiest thing you've ever said in your life. he's casting the Protect spell. You know, the
like,
one.
Dude. Like, I know that now we have video games that are like this all the time. And, yeah. Like, I mean, we got 15. And Final Fantasy VII Rebirth exists. But, like, he just cracked that man's neck between his legs. They're
yeah,
shooting against the thing and it's killing themselves.
Oh, God. This is sick as hell.
It's Reflect. Yo, we're using Reflect.
What year was it, like 2007 or something like that? That was a different time. Where, like, the simplest things we just so hype.
Look at this. Throwing the sword up to teleport to it to get higher up the goddamn skyscraper before coming down to fucking wreck these fools.
You could do that in 15, Tim.
Yeah, I know. And also Kingdom Hearts. Your Zura, baby. Oh.
Yo, yeah, Yoko Shimomura. Going dude, off.
This song's Somnus. I'm telling you, dude. It is. Oh. Nothing cooler.
Yo.
The two coolest things in the world. Two equally minded but oppositional ideology people sitting playing chess.
Oh my God. Let me tell you about Drake and J. Cole in the newest music video.
No way.
Oh yeah.
No way.
Oh yeah. In the news.
Good for them.
They remake there's like a famous image of, I think it's Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo playing chess. They remake that image as J. Cole and
good
Drake
for them.
In the new music video.
Good
and when
them.
I tell you I got hyped, and then later on in the music video, J. Cole's wearing a Spider-Man suit, and it's fucking fantastic.
I need to check that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you
that
need
is,
to watch
it. That
you,
is so
you're
awesome.
Gonna love the music video.
Ah, hell yeah,
first person shooter.
But the second coolest thing, sitting on a throne all
oh,
on one
yeah,
side
like,
of it.
Like Conker. Like, Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Exactly. Out today, Naruto Cross Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections on PS5, Xbox Series, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Persona 5 Tactica on PS5, Series, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. If you want Barrett's thoughts on that, where could they find them?
Monday's KFGD.
Tuesday's KFGD.
Tuesday's KFGD.
KFGD is where we... I gave my thoughts on that. I forget who it was who was tagging me in... tweets last night, but wondering about spoilers for main P5. If you haven't played through P5 fully yet or P5 Royal, I would say at least get through December into January before you play Tactica, because Tactica will kind of reference major beats from that stuff. So just a heads up, but it's a very fun tactics game.
Next up, Super Mario RPG on Switch. This is a game that I really just want to like take a second to give a shout out to, because I think it's going to get lost in the shuffle of everything. It is such a special game for nostalgic reasons, but this remake is utterly incredible. There's so much joy and charm in it, and I feel like anybody that plays it is going to find a good time. And I want to support this type of remake because they damn understood the assignment, and it's really special. And I know how much is going on. You're going to love this game.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because Sea of Stars is like it's mechanically similar, where you're doing the thing where you click the attack and then you click the button to do the attack or whatever.
No rush to play it. I'm just saying at some point in your life, make time to play this.
I
want to
pick it up. Maybe
on,
I think, upcoming Gamescast, the plan might be to talk about like the games we have planned for the rest of the year. And I think that might be my winter break game.
Yeah, dude, you're going to love it. Like it's
I'm
it's
traveling
really
for,
special,
for winter break too. So bring along my Switch. It's going to be perfect.
We got Warhammer Age of Sigmar Realms of Ruin on PC, PS5, Xbox Series X. We have Bluey the video game.
What a release day.
Everywhere. And The Walking Dead Destinies everywhere. Downwell on mobile. New dates for you. Spyro's coming to Crash Team Rumble on December 7th. Hell yeah. And then Dragon's Dogma 2 showcase is set for November 28th at 1 p.m.
I wonder what they're going to announce there.
Time. deals of the day for you. You can get Amazon's Black Friday sale. Some of them are live, including EA Sports FC24 for $30, Jedi Survivor for $35, Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope for $15, and Final Fantasy 16 for $40. Pretty damn Cool.
And then I threw this in here. Wario tweeted out that Half-Life is free to own on Steam.
Oh,
this November 20th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I saw this morning, but then it like reverted back, and it looks like now it's back to being free. So hell yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm going to add this because I don't think I own Half-Life, and I still not played all the way through Half-Life. But I also want to play the Half-Life Black Mesa, like,
yeah,
which is the like remake.
Was it a fan remake or was it a?
I think it got. I think it started off as a fan thing and then got officialized.
Yeah, that's what I own is Black Mesa.
I'm gonna add this to my account anyway.
Let's look at your wrong to see what we got wrong. Tonez Chaser says The Last of Us composer's name is Gustavo Santaolalla.
Oh, Santaolalla.
So that is what they said.
No, they said Santaolalla.
You're right.
In the thing, yeah.
Wait, no, you're right. Yeah, man. All right, cool.
Gustavo Santaolalla.
Come on. Yeah. Like, that's so far
that's
off.
That's not what this says, yeah.
Stop it, pronouncenames.com.
Cheyenne has some context that I do think is important here. While Uncharted Legacy of Thieves was $70, it had a $10 upgrade path for people who owned either of the two games. I think having something like this for Tilo 2 would be the right move. While I agree, yeah. I don't think there's a chance. I think we've moved on past that stuff. That was an early, this like the cross-gen stuff where smart delivery and PS5's disaster was all being figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, they're just releasing PS5 games now.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it being like if it's remastered, maybe having like a $10 upgrade. But yeah, if it's a director's cut, no way. They're not going to do it.
We got Big Bad Beluga saying the Final Fantasy 16 DLC and PC port were formally announced at PAX West.
There you go.
Madrakta says, Tim, not to break your mind more, but Samus is also a girl.
Oh, shit.
Spider-Man Remastered has become available to purchase separately on May 4th, 2023. It's $50 and currently 50% off until November 28th. Thank you, Gabe PH.
Somebody said Death Stranding Director's Cut was also a $10 upgrade. Was that on PC or was that also on PlayStation chat? Let me know.
Sal Romano says, not necessarily you're wrong, but since you guys are wondering what the gameplay of Deep Down would look like, it was playable at Tokyo Game Show in 2013.
No way.
And also, there's a lot of footage online.
Now that I think about it, Death Stranding first came to PC during the director's cut, so that wouldn't have been the case. Never mind. Disregard me. That's wild.
Yeah.
Have people ever talked about it? Like, have we ever gotten Deep Down
all
previews?
All of those people from TGS, we haven't seen them since.
Yeah, they just started disappearing all of a sudden.
And then Big Bad Beluga brings up something that's actually very, very smart, saying a lot of lore and ideas from Agni's Philosophy Tech demo was adapted into the game that would become Forspoken, as it was made by the team that became Luminous Studio or Luminous Productions. And yeah, that's absolutely
Is this Deep Down?
Yeah.
I apologize. Capcom, my bad.
My bad.
My bad.
Didn't mean to disrespect
your
game.
But also, this looks incredible. What the fuck? Like the fire? I actually know. When you're standing still, the fire looks incredible. When they're doing like some camera movements, it'll kind of flat. But like, this is fascinating.
It really is.
What was the gameplay? Was this co-op taking out a? Is this like Monster Hunter?
It seems like weird Monster Hunter plus Dark Souls-y vibe.
And they're just spawning walls.
Yeah.
All right, get this out of here. Get this out of here.
Lou Young in this chat just says Dick Rider. What could possibly have prompted that?
I mean, the dick of Capcom, you know?
Oh,
no, I don't think, because I've been hating on Deep Down this whole time. I'm trying to go back because, like, I don't know. Maybe they were talking about
someone in the chat. Maybe.
I mean, I do love Blue's Clues, and I was hating on Bluey in defense of Blue's Clues.
Interesting. Let us know in the comments below, whatever you want, actually.
Yeah, just talk to us. Yeah, like, have a conversation.
Did you know that Bluey was a girl? You know, would you...
Did you know that Blue was a girl?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
Did you know that Bluey and her family were all Australian?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, not a chance.
Down there fighting spiders and kangaroos, yeah. Bluey. That's crazy, dude.
I knew Bluey was an Australian cattle dog. I didn't know that they were Australian, which I know sounds stupid, but I have a Pomeranian that doesn't mean they're from Pompeii. Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.